In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. You know, it is not every parable that that is interpreted the same way. You know, sometimes it's just a lesson that God is bringing out from a whole story. Meaning that it's not every story that has the five virgins means this, the five foolish ones means this, the oil means Holy Spirit, the this thing means that. You know, sometimes we get hooked when we want to interpret every parable like that. You know, you don't have to interpret every parable like that. Not all parables should be interpreted. But for example, at the end of this parable, Jesus Christ said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour." The less this parable is about one lesson, which is watch. That's the reason for all the stories. You know, so it's not every time that all the parables, you know, have what's the word? Symbolisms and say this represents this, and it's not everything that was said in the parable that has a representation. Some is just to buttress the story that is being told. You know, so I just have to say that to us whenever we read parables. Some are parables that are interpreted that way, some are not interpreted that way. So you just have to trust the Lord to help you know how to interpret the parables based on what the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to the bridegroom. The five of them were wise and the five were foolish. He says the kingdom of heaven, you see, will be likened. The kingdom of heaven will be likened to the story of 10 virgins. Five were wise, five were foolish. So is it part of kingdom to be foolish? They're saying the kingdom of heaven is to be likened. What's he trying to say? He's saying that there is a lesson in this story that will help you, you know, to be properly positioned for the kingdom. So that's what he's trying to say. He said, I want to teach you about the kingdom. You know, so he's telling us a story. So the lesson of the story will be what is important for the kingdom. It's not all that is in the story. It's actually the lesson of the story. Do we get that simple point I just raised? So which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom? And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were wise took their lamps and took no... They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." You see. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. You see. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, the wise told the foolish to go and buy oil. And then the foolish went to buy oil. And by the time the foolish came back, the door was shut. Now, the question I want to ask is, did the wise give the foolish a wise advice? Wicked advice. The point is, that is not really the point of the story. It's the story. Are you getting it? Because if the wise was the representation of ultimate righteousness, would they tell the foolish to go and do what will now make them not to enter? Do you understand what I'm just trying to say? It's a story. Do you understand? Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." You see, I know you not. Glory be to God. Glory, glory be to God. We will never hear that from the Lord in the name of Jesus. I want to show you something. It says, "I know you not." 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Watch therefore. Watch. Watch therefore. Watch. The word watch talks about to be vigilant. Can somebody read verse 13 in another translation for me?
So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return.
Must keep watch. Another person.
Watch therefore, give strict attention and be cautious and active. You know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come.
All right. Can I get another one?
Therefore.
Yeah.
Be on the alert. Be prepared and ready.
Yeah.
For you do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come.
Watch. You know, one of the root words for that scripture is like, for that word watch, when they be alert, it's like the level of alertness practically in the market. You know, the market is a very, I don't know if you have gone to all those real markets. Not the market, not all these stores. I mean, market square. Idumota. Or you go to Eko. When you people, the way people move in Eko, you need to go to Eko. Have you gone to Eko before?
Yes.
You did not enjoy it, have you? You see the way people move like soldiers. You are alert because they can cut your back. In fact, sometimes you have to wear your bag in front. Or computer village. shooting. That's what it's actually. Watch. You see, the whole story is about watching. And that's what I want to come out. I want to come out. Oh my God. So it says there is an alertness that is necessary if you want to be in the kingdom. Like, the kingdom can shut you out. Without the alertness, you can be shut out of the kingdom. Because the door was shut for people who should be in, but because they were not what? They were not alert. They were not alert. One of the things that is making us not to enter the kingdom is our sense of being casual our being casual is too much. But too casual. So because of that, we are shut out, you see, of the kingdom. When you are casual, you are shut out of it. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean for a door to be shut? If I shut this door against somebody, what are the implications of the door being shut? Cannot have access to the room. What is the implication of that? The person can never experience the things that are in this room. So you see, people don't experience the kingdom many times. Why? Because they're not allowed. Because they are casual. They are very casual. They are normal. Now let's go back to this story. Let's go back there. Then shall the kingdom be likened unto 10 virgins, you see, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. One, to be a virgin is an amazing thing, is it not? But guess what? It's not enough. To have lamps is not amazing. It's still not enough. To have the lamp burning, is it not amazing? Guess what? It's not enough. To have the lamp burning, listen to this, for the required time. Because don't forget that the lamp burned for the required time. The reason why they missed it was because the Bible said the bridegroom tarried. That is to say, it was the bridegroom that came late. So to have it all figured out is still not enough. Do you understand that? Is it not enough? That we always have to do the extra. We have to do the extra. And I feel like doing the extra, can I talk to us here? When God sees us do extra, that is when He covers our weaknesses. I tell you. But I was like, how do you know? Because those guys had extra oil. But what was their weakness? They all slept. They all slept. The wise one slept. The foolish one slept. But eventually, the extra oil was what saved the wise ones. So they were not wise because they are perfect. They were wise because they are not casual.
Wow.
So it's not because that they are perfect. Their wisdom was not in their perfection because they all slept. The wise and fully slept. But what makes them wise is that they always did extra. If you do not normalize overdoing, you are not a wise person as regards the kingdom. You have to overdo. Tell you. I don't know why anybody is telling people these things. You have to what? You have to overdo. How did we even get access to the kingdom in the first place? Because Jesus overdid it. God overdid it. Yeah. He gave us the law, He gave us many things, but He still went extra and gave us His only begotten Son. We have to overdo it. To find access into the kingdom, you have to overdo it. How did Solomon get access and his kingdom became eternal? I mean Solomon. How did it link up to eternal dynasty of God? Why did God say, I'm going to preserve you forever and all? With all of Solomon's weaknesses, God was still with that man all the days of his life. What did he do? He overgave. It was overgiving that gave him that ultimate encounter. You see, you have to overdo it. How did David live? How did David enter the kingdom? How? He has a culture of overdoing things. That's David for you. How did he slay? What was his CV for slaying Goliath? When the lion came. You see. when the lion came for his sheep. You know, when the lion comes for your sheep, and the lion didn't meet you at home, what should you do? Should you not go home and testify that the lion came, and the lion did not meet me? But the Bible says that David chased lion. He chased lion, removed the lamb, the sheep from the lion's mouth, and killed the lion. That doesn't make any sense. That's overdoing things. I did the same thing for the bear. You see, those who step in to the kingdom are those who overdo things. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus. The Bible says, and the zeal of his father's house consumed him. You know, zeal is not the normal way of behaving. Zeal is like that thing that helps you overdo things. I don't know. Give me different words for zeal. What does zeal mean? What is a zeal? Passion. 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 What's that? Pastor, did you have a word for zeal? Passion. Zest. Favor. Yes.
Devotion.
Enthusiasm.
Committedness.
Listen, those who do basic and God doesn't like them. God doesn't like them. Why? What happened? Okay. Those who do, she said, don't worry now. Did she say that? Those who do basic friends, God doesn't want. What did I say? God doesn't want. He doesn't like them. Those who do basic, God doesn't like them. Those who say, well, I've done what I'm meant to do. God says, if that's how you want to live, you'll be shut out of the kingdom. Yeah. I've done. They asked me to bring two. I brought it two. God says, I'm going to show those kind of people out of the kingdom. It has to be intensity. Everybody who has got something tangible from God, who is working in the kingdom realm, will always have a testimony of the level of passion they put in. PK will tell us of when he went for a meeting and he trekked almost from trekking from here to maybe trekking to your house from here. Yeah. Guess what? In the rain. That was when he got the mantle and the anointing for his ministry as a young boy. He walked to Bishop Francis Waluke's meeting. And he walked in the rain. And he got soaked. He walked for hours for a conference. And immediately he entered the conference. He said immediately his feet stepped into the conference. Bishop Waluke gave a word of knowledge about somebody who just stepped in and how God was going to use the person. And when Bishop Waluke said that word, the power of God hit him and took him back into the rain. Like knocked him out back outside. And he was soaked in the rain and had a vision of all his life and his ministry and all he would do in that rain under the power of God. He could have said, it's raining. I'm not going. You know, the book of Revelation says that if you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to what? Listen, there is something irritating in the kingdom. There's something extremely irritating about casual people. It's an irritation in the spirit. It's irritating in the spirit. It causes irritation in the realms of when you are casual, when you are docile, when you are doing the barest minimum. Praise God. It's irritating. Hallelujah. Ali, you have to keep quiet if you don't stay. Are we together, friends? that doing the barest minimum is irritating, and then the doors will be shut. Are you with me? Is that why we are not just baptized with the Holy Ghost, but baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire? The fire is what helps you to operate beyond and above casual. You see. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
But you know, I like the passion of the wise ones. They're so passionate. They are so passionate that they appeared wicked. Their passion made them look wicked. As I will not give you any oil. So that I don't want to hear that it's not. Yeah. You see, that's why. People who are not passionate will see those who are passionate as inconsiderate or as being, what word?
Mean.
When the passion of the kingdom has not come upon you, you will see those who are passionate as being mean. And say, you cannot wait for me. Let's go now. We know husband and wife. Wait for me. You look mean. You see. Because you're not passionate. You look mean. That's our pastor. This is this serious. You look mean. And then the Lord will not give anybody the kingdom who is not passionate. In the Bible says that from John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers what?
Violence.
See, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and the violent takes it by force. You see, that's like the temperature of the kingdom. That's like the temperature of the kingdom. It's violent. That's the temperature of the kingdom. You see, the kingdom is not like buses in UK. The kingdom of God operates like in Molwe, in the days of Molwe, where the bus is just moving, and then you have to just like. And then when you want to calm down, you have to balance, because the thing is moving. It will just slow small, and then you just calm down, and then you get your balance. That's how the kingdom of God is like. I tell you the truth. As a church, if we are not aggressive, we are gonna say nothing. We are gonna say what? Nothing. We are gonna say nothing. I couldn't see nothing. If you don't pray and fast and wake up in the midnight and seek God's face, you will just remain. Your life will be at sanguine level or Capricorn or what are those? The other one, Aquarius, Aries. That's all your life will be. I say, you know, I am Uranus, I'm Capricorn. You know, you will not. There will be nothing powerful about your life. You will just be sensual, soulish. You'll be doing yoga. You'll be speaking English. There will be nothing spectacular about your life. I tell you the truth. Those that want something, wake up in the midnight, 2 a.m. and say, Lord, I'm here again. This thing, I want it. And do it consistently for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month. That's how to get something. Those that want it, open their Bibles at a particular time and are reading it. Those that want it are on YouTube, listening to messages over and 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 over again. Is not for the casual. You know, it says watch therefore. That's a lesson. The lesson is to watch. Watch. Why must you watch? Because no man knows the day nor the time. Huh? So he's talking about we're operating in this passion.
Mm. You know, when he says no man knows the day or the time the Son of Man is going to come, I want you to see that text beyond the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Whenever you say the Son of Man coming, don't only think of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Think about the full manifestation of God's glory.
Wow.
Jesus, I always say it that where Jesus is fully manifested or manifested in your life.
Mm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He says, no man knows. So we don't sit and sleep waiting for him to come. We behave as though he's coming every time. Do you understand? He says, no one, because if you are caught lax when he comes, you'll be shut out. For example, as a church, if we get serious, if we plan to get serious when we are now in our hundreds and thousands, we will never be in our hundreds and thousands. Because no man knows when it comes. But the protocol is, before it comes, watch. So that's the secret. Just, if you want to chill and say, oh, everything is still, it will come. But you'll find that others will be the ones enjoying his coming.
Mm.
You are being shut out.
Mm.
You get it?
Mm.
So we have to be intentional.
Mm.
We have to be passionate.
Mm.
You get it?
Mm.
We have to do everything as though he's already come.
Mm.
Because we don't know the hour.
Mm.
We have to be active. We have to be passionate in everything we are doing. Eyes on the goal. Eyes on the goal. Eyes on the vision. Eyes on the calling. Eyes on it. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the night. You see? When we are asleep, well, you see, sometimes when I'm playing with people, they are just sleeping themselves, I'm not playing with them. Because I'm already, you see, yesterday when we were all playing, when we were all there, me, I'm already in my spiritualization. I'll be in my spiritualization stage. All the time when I asked that, I was not just that with you guys, I was already in my, that's why everything on the table, me and Mama Dio didn't ask that, it was just like a waste of strength. Yes, everything. So after a while, I just left them. I went into the car. I don't know if you were just shouting in the back of my already. By the time I was ready for my little ghost, I'm going to do more because the whole day, the only thing in my soul is the specialization. Every other thing I'm doing. It's not the first thing I'm doing. They are just my other responsibilities. Trying to be a responsible person, responsible woman, responsible friend, responsible spirit. I'm never going to be caught unawares. I'd rather rush to do other things than be rushing to do things. Are we together here? So we have to carry that great sense. Are you with me? Of passion. Of passion. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In everything that we're doing. You have to be passionate. You have to be passionate. Why? Because the blessing and his coming is those who are passionate. Like passion is the address of Jesus' coming.
Wow.
And that's where he puts on his GPS. Whenever he's coming, he's just going to where there is what?
Passion.
Where there is passion. He's going to where there is passion. He's going to where there is always people are doing extra. He goes to those who have done what? They have done extra. How would you get like that? Watch! For no man knows the time. Praise God. Are we still hot? Are we still cold? Is it getting warm? Or you can put on. Yeah, I don't think you have put on that heater besides. Is it working?
Yeah. It's okay. You're okay.
But it's here, you can put that on too. Yeah, put it on. Put it on by the side.
So there's one stone down. Down. That's what you're saying. Praise God first. Intensity. Huh? Passion. Zeal.
They said the zeal of his father's house has consumed him. That means there is a way, you know, zeal, eh? Zeal cannot be eating. Yeah? It cannot be eating, it's always, always. That means, if the Bible says the zeal of his father's house has consumed him, it means that there is a way when Jesus is going to church, there is a way you know that his church is going. It's a different way. Because he was actually talking about the temple, he was talking about the synagogue. He said that was when he went and flogged everybody out of the synagogue. And the Bible says this because it is written that the zeal of his father's house has consumed him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say the zeal of my father's house has consumed me? The zeal of his father's house has consumed him. I want to tell you something. You see, there is a blessing in these last days. It's a glorious blessing that God has prepared for the people who have been consumed by the Father's zeal. There's an unexplainable blessing that God has prepared for them. There is a glorious blessing. There is a blessing. There is a blessing that is... Thank you, Diesel. I'm so grateful. There is a blessing that is beyond effort. Yeah. My apostleship is in this regard. My apostleship is in what I'm saying here is one of the things my apostleship covers. There is a blessing in these last days that is for those who carry this passion, who have sworn to live their life doing extra for the Lord. Yes. And their weakness will not destroy them. See, Saul, let me tell you. Saul was a better person than David. When you talk of action, a moral action, Saul was a better person than David. It's just that the justice of God, the parameters of it is different from our own parameters. The what God gives points to are different things that God gives points. You know what David used to? You see, Saul was a king. Saul was a king. David was God's king. The point, I'm not saying God chose David, is that David was doing kingship. He was doing it on behalf of God. You see, David was not king as per promotion. He didn't feel like I am king. So Saul was king for himself. He is king, which is not a bad thing. It's a normal thing. But David was not king for himself. David was the Lord's king. You see? That's why you see things like immediately he became king. The first priority of David was, I can't be here and the temple of the Lord will be in a strange land. That was the first thing he thought about. And he now went extra mile to get the temple. He went to get the temple, which was the process that led to the loss of Uzziah, was that guy's name, when they were bringing back the temple. He now went to seek God's face and say, this temple I said I should bring. I brought it again. Why did you kill us again for bringing the temple? God now explained to them that you cannot use donkey to carry the temple. The temple can only be bore in the shoulders of priests. Yeah, the first way they brought the temple was they brought it with a worldly cart. So the temple was going to leave that cart. You see. Which is a prophetic sign that the glory of God cannot move on a worldly system. No. You cannot lose worldly. Anytime you see worldly principles at work in the church, the glory has left. And when the glory wants to leave, if you want to force it, you lose your life. That's why one of the worst things to do is to fight a people that God is moving through, like to antagonize, you know, a move of God. You see, maybe out of jealousy or out of whatever, you're about to lose your life. You see, so David now inquired of the Lord. The Lord now told him how to carry the temple. They now got priests. The priests now put the temple on their, the ark of covenant on their shoulder. You see. Are we together here? Do you know that David later was going to build a house for God? Because he said that I cannot be living in a palace. You see, and God will be in the tent, the ark will be in the tent. He says, no, I need to build. God now stopped him from building. What did David now do? David now saved everything that would be needed for the building. So that when Solomon was to build, Solomon was not going to need any material. You see, when you learn to do what appears unnecessary, it's a proof that the spirit of passion has entered your soul. Yes. That's the character of those God will use. How did Elisha get the anointing from Elijah? Was he the only son of prophet? In fact, the school had already been established before Elisha joined. Because there was already a school of prophets. He was not one of the main prophets. And every time Elijah told him to turn back, every time he says, you can go back here. He said, they said, you go back. You know, you have not done anything wrong. If they say you should go back and go. But the guy said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. How did he know? So it means that in doing extra, he got double portion. And that means the double portion is not in being normal. The double portion is in extra. Though it was being tested. You know, it's not only Ruth and Naomi. There was another wife. What's her name?
Oprah.
Oprah now. There was Oprah now. And there was both of them that was married to the sons of them. Is it Naomi?
Yeah.
Yes. They did not make sense. When she, I don't have any children. You guys go. And then Oprah said, mommy, you are making sense. I mean, the woman was making sense. It was not a bad thing that she left. But that means in that conversation, what was at stake was to be part of the lineage of Christ. That was what was at stake. Yeah, so what was at stake? But Ruth says, no, I'm not going back. What was she risking? She might never have a husband in her life. Yeah, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Mom, she married Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of David. And as that woman entered the lineage of Christ eternally, because she just decided to do more than normal. If you want to be doing normal as per kingdom, you will not get any tangible thing from in the kingdom of God. You see, you have to go out extra. And it has to be a culture. Extra. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Woe! The level of irritation. Casual people. You see, casual people are like, they are like, you see, casual people, it's not just that they are a waste. They are an enemy to the kingdom. So the Lord expels them. Like, you know, there are some, you know, the Bible talks about in that day, woe unto that suckling mother who has children. You get the point now? It's like you make, you know, sometimes, eh, we are able to fight when some people are not distracting us. So casual people are like distraction. It's better not to have them. They are not an addition, they are a subtraction. God pushes them away. So you don't want to be casual in the things of God. If you are going to be casual in things of God, the Lord will delete you in his memory. You see? Let me quickly explain this. Put your Lord on the side. That you are a child of God. To be a child of God is different from being in the kingdom. There are two different things. So God keeps relating to some people as his children. But they are not part of his kingdom. Yes. They are his children. So what does that mean? You might not be part of the kingdom, he will protect you. He will bless you, or watch over you, but the matters of kingdom advancement, you are cut off from. Your wife, husband, you will do this, but the matters of kingdom advancement, and then the matters of reward and crowns, you are not in those kind of conversations. You are not there. You see, now a lot of us have only been taught on how to be children of God. And have him as our father. But you see, if you want to, it says the kingdom of God is likened. You are a virgin, yes, which is the sign that maybe you are born again. Yes, you are a virgin, yes. But when we talk of kingdom, you see, the manifestation of God's purposes, of God's will. You see, God's way of life, you are cut off from it. So you can be eating, your skin will be fresh, your pictures will be fine. When you post a picture, say, wow, beautiful. You see, everything about you will look good. But you see, your soul, you see, is not having life inside you. There's no life, both in you, and there's no life coming out of you. And you are not part of God's strategy work. And that's an impact thing. And then, in the last day, when Jesus finally appears, you are going to be full of shame. You see, because there will be no crown, there will be no reward for you. And that's a very sad thing. You see, that's why the Bible says that many are called, but the few are chosen. Are you with me? You know, this is like a minimum, this is like an entry. What I'm teaching here is like entry master's class. I'm teaching the entry level of this is the first course of the master class of accessing the kingdom. You see. This is the entry level. And then that's the, like I said earlier, this is the part where you are baptized with what? With fire. Praise God. Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
I said, are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
You see, when you have taken this posture, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Then you qualify for anointings. Yeah? You don't give gun to somebody, to a child who wants to drink ice cream. Do you give gun to a child who wants to drink ice cream? So it is when we take this posture that God now begins to equip us. You see, some people, like God is taking care of them. He's not equipping. You see, when God heals you, he's caring for you. When God makes you a healer, what is he doing? He's equipping you. When God provides money for you, what's he doing? He's caring for you. When God gives you access to billions, what's he doing?
It's equipping you. So you move from just being a child of God, you see, to be a soldier of Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. You be a soldier. You see, that was the letter, the content of the letter of Paul to Timothy. Yeah? What's the letter? Endure hardship. Endure it. Everybody read that portion of scripture too. Endure it. Are you enjoying this Bible study?
Yes.
Oh, yes, Lord.
First, 2 Timothy 2, 3.
Read it for me, please.
You, therefore, must endure hardship.
What's the previous verse?
And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Okay.
You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
Yeah.
And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules.
Wow.
The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things.
Awesome.
Remember.
No, that's okay. That's, you are reading from which one? Verse 12, chapter 12. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit. Right? Who are you meant to commit to? To faithful men.
Faithful men. Huh? You know, it takes passion to be faithful. Faithfulness is part of being passionate. It's committed to faithfulness. So what does that mean? It means that there's discrimination. We'll check. Is it faithful? If it's not faithful, don't give it. Don't give it to me. But what are they committing? It's what? It's what? It's not like it's cash. You see, the things you have heard from me. So there is life in words. Yeah, like the words opens you to a beast of life. This is those words. You are going to check. Is this guy faithful? If he's not faithful, don't give it to him. Just commit to faithful people who also are scouting for faithful people. You see, without faithful people, the kingdom is going nowhere. So it means that they walk only, like God walks only. That means God has children, a lot of children, but fewer staff.
Wow.
Eh? Fewer what?
Staff.
The children are plenty, but the staff are few. But out of those children, he picks some as staff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these ones are workers. These ones are my children. These ones are workers. These are my children.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, commit out of the children, I'm looking for faithful people. But they commit the words to them. You see, thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Christ. No man that worries or entangles himself with what? With the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Friends, that he may what? Please him. He may what? Please him. Who is he pleasing? The person that he is. So, we are not here to be happy. We are here to please who is with us. Where would you have me be? What would you have me do that will please him? But I'm telling you, when you are pleasing him, you would have the greatest of happiness. The true happiness, the true joy. What I'm saying to us, this is the thing God wants us to talk about because the time is short. I tell you, these are the things that God wants us to make His children turn them to soldiers quickly, because the battle, you know, is at a very serious level. God wants His children to quickly become soldiers. Do you know that a nation with if three criminals come to this street, three criminals, three with guns, three, just three, they will overpower all the thousands of people here? Yes. They will. All of us will knock our door. You know why? They are soldiers from darkness. And they came to do work. Even though they are three, they are more than the town. You know why? The town people want to go out to Asda, want to go to Dulem, want to go to Zamburi. What do you say, Zamburi?
Sainsbury.
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 Yeah.
I want to go to Sainsbury. You see? They, there's even Salama Ben inside it. No Salama Ben. Gently, dimly, gently, dimly, me, making she fight out. Tell me, Matin, you know, see the jar. Salama Ben. So God does not have few soldiers. If everyone is if we stay as soldiers, if we stay as soldiers, then we will get a lot of harvest. We will remain as soldiers. We will get a lot of harvest. And my friend said, somebody in Macedonia will say, we need you, and the guy will just know that I'm meant to go to Macedonia. That's how they were living their lives. It was full of dreams and visions. Why? Because God has enlisted them. So that, you see, there are a lot of things that is going on in this UK, for example, that all of us here don't know about. There are a lot of terrorist attacks that have been stopped.
Yeah.
They're weak. Mumu was don't know where they were just going and saying, we want to go and drink this thing. And they just caught one somebody from Iran. They just but the soldiers who are really soldiers, they have the information. We don't have the information. Do you understand? We don't have the information. Also, when God sends us into a territory, He's giving us information that the people need in the territory. Because we need to do work behind the scenes that will determine how what will go on the scene.
Yes, sir.
Are we together, friends? So, it is this passion. Jesus Christ says, watch! Stop living casual. Stop saying, I've done my morning devotion. I've paid my tithe. I've done things like that. Then God says, come on, be more than that. They are just doing the barest minimum. I've done this. I've paid my husband the money. I've begged him. I've begged her at least. God says, you have to go beyond. I wish that I had.
Are my friends here? Let me tie it up with another. Let me quickly look at something else and tie it up with it. I don't know if you are blessed this morning.
Yes, sir. You are blessed.
Let's look at another, the next, because he said another parable immediately, also describing the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. You see. And he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. Can you see? The first parable also happened. The bridegroom come and reconnect with them. You see, he reconnect with them. That is to say, let's check the accounts. Let's reconcile the accounts. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou didst that deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and what?
Faithful
servant. Good and faithful. A good person. I've talked about this before. Good talks about the type of heart. Faithful talks about his action, his activity. You're faithful. Thou have been faithful over. Faithful over what? A few things. You see, before the Lord comes there, it will always look few. You see, whenever things look few, it's because God is checking our hearts. God doesn't test us when He comes. He tests us before He comes. When He comes to judge us. Not to test us. So when he has not come, meaning that when it is not looking glorious, that is when our hearts are being tested. Jonathan. And so he's always going to start with how many things? Few things. It's going to be few. It's going to be few. But what are his expectations when things are few? Goodness or faithfulness when things are few. I will make thee ruler. So the whole is few. But the end game of this few is what? is kingship. I'll make thee ruler over many things. I don't know if you can see this. This one. So, you see, things are not going to be many because we have the ability to turn our few to many. Meaning that you cannot tell how many things will be by judging how few they are. You cannot do a projection from few. No. There are going to be many because the many, it will be the coming of the Lord that will make it many. You see, Paul plants, Apollo waters, but God will give increase. So you see, increase is like God's own. I don't know if you get that.
Yes,
so let me give you an example. This one is going to be a church of thousands and hundreds of people. It's not going to be based on. Okay, I'm going to reach. I'm going to make 5,000. Okay, these people are going to buy 100. This thing will be more people. This thing invites 150. 150 plus 100. That's 250. Isaac will bring. That's what should be. Well, Isaac did not go out at all. No, it will be like that too. That increase, it will be the Lord Himself that will just bring the increase. But God will watch our faithfulness with what? To feel. Praise God. And he that had received 5 talents came and said, say, Lord, thou givest me 5 talents. Behold, I gain beside them 5 talents. But what talent there is? Money. It's like his talent for money. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. You see. What is the joy of the Lord? What's the joy of the Lord? That's the joy of the Lord.
Is it my strength?
Yeah, it's your strength, yes. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what joy of the Lord is? The joy of the Lord is how He feels it when we are the way He wants us to be.
Wow.
Yeah, that's God's joy. You see, God, we are the ones. When God sees you walking, you know, the apostle says, I love to see my children walk in the light. When God sees us walking the way He wants us to walk, it's full of joy. And then His reward is to just lavish. It's just like my children, our children also. It is a joy we have when the children are just doing the right things, when the children are behaving. Macho just have this joy, and then the guy just come and say, mommy, please, can I have a bicycle? Even before the child asks, you are willing to give the child things because of how the child is. Why? Because you are happy that your child is growing. So there is a joy the Lord has when He sees us being who He wants us to be. You see, He's not saying that the way I'm feeling, I'm going to give you the privilege to enjoy it. I'm going to bring you into that feeling. But the side effects of that is that I will now make you ruler. You see, of many things. And he also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou art faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawn. And I was afraid. I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine.
His other son said to him, "Thou wicked." You see, and what? A slothful servant. You see, whenever we are lazy, it's because our heart is not right. He says, "You are wicked." The other one was good and faithful. This one was wicked and slothful. "Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury." So you see, it's like God is saying that when I give you a thing, everything I give you has a power to multiply. God is saying that never receive from me and not multiply it. Never. God hates it. The first thing I tell God hates is lack of passion. The second thing God hates is lack of profit. God hates all profitability. God hates you not doing what you can do. So when you don't do what you can do, stop expecting God to do what you cannot do. God says you have to do what you can do. You have to work. You have to do what you can do. He says you should have gone and give it to the exchangers. Those are the experts. There's something called an expert. So he says, give it to experts. It means that, can I tell you something? God is saying that we have two options. The first option is this: you multiply it. If you don't know how to multiply it, go and hand over yourself. You see, to those who know how to. So you must be useful. If that guy had given it over, God is saying, "I won't be angry." Yes. I won't be angry because I will get good, which is also the art of service. Say, go and serve. If you don't know how to be useful, go and serve somebody that will use you to be useful. Yes, God says, "I will take pleasure in that." You can't say, God is saying, you can never say, "I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to." Okay, you don't know how to. Okay, go and meet somebody that knows how to, and let the person use you. I don't know if you
get it. Yes, sir.
Is that not how it is done in the world sometimes? That somebody does not know it, he goes and meet the master. He will do it a lot. The master will train you. But before they train you, all the message in the world is sending you. They are masters. So they will just be using you for profit. And God says, "I like it." Because I like to always gain. That means you should never be in a state in your life where your life is not making profit for the kingdom. Are you with me? Our lives must be what? Making profit for the kingdom. So God hates, what's the first one? When you are casual.
Lack of passion.
Yeah, lack of passion. What's the second thing? Profit. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that has 10 talents. Why do you have 10 talents? For everyone that has shall be given. And he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which has. So God is saying, don't say you don't have. You know how many of us say we don't have? A lot of us say we don't have. When pastor says, "You are going to be the one to take Bible study," that's all.
I play pastor. You take it to pastor. I don't want to take it to pastor.
Then you do this.
Pastor, I don't know. What will I say?
That thing that you are meant to say, God will soon collect it from you. I want to give it to somebody else. You have. Somebody say, I have. And it says, cast the unprofitable. I didn't even know the word was there. He said, cast ye the unprofitable servant. God hates casual. God hates unprofitable people. Cast the unprofitable servant into utter darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise God. Praise God. It says, cast the unprofitable servant need to cut to that. But you are not off the table, right?
Yes.
And you are not casual. Can we be on our feet and pray about it?